All right, Seth Wilkes, welcome to the Guitar Radio Show. Wilk.
From, how's it going?
From Screamin' FX.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, how are you today?
Oh, doing really well.
Good. Thanks. I'm glad to have you here today with us. Actually, we are at the mothership for Screamin' FX.
Yeah, it's a little upstairs bedroom pretty much, right? Yeah, right. Crammed in with more stuff than fits in here.
Yeah, but this is where it all happens. This is where he brings it to life, so to speak. And so tell us a little bit about you, your humble beginnings. How did it all start for you?
The guitar thing? I guess, you know, I was a little kid and I got this guitar. I must have been about 14 years old, 15 years old, something like that. And I just started playing for hours and hours every day. And, you know, I was trying to learn faster. So eventually I started taking lessons. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was always really big into science and did well in math. So there's always kind of like these two things. So, you know, played a lot of guitar, all kinds of different bands, you know, kind of like blues rock at first. We actually went into a metal band, mm-hmm. then did jazz and classical guitar. So then basically what happened is I went to college. And so in college, I was studying classical guitar and I was trying to decide, you know, should I be a classical guitar major or, you know, what else could I do?
Right.
And so in doing that, I was, you know, I've always been big into the engineering. So I thought, well, why not study electrical engineering? Because I really want to make guitar pedals. And at that time, I'd been kind of like fooling around with some really simple circuits, but they actually sounded pretty bad, right? So, you know, I went to the engineering school, and at the same time, we're doing the different bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated with a degree in electrical engineering.
Right.
And I got this award, or whatever you call it, a fellowship. And so I ended up going out to Arizona, and it's this crazy program called this Biomolecular Nanotechnology Program.
Right.
And so they paid for me to do a PhD in electrical engineering. So I actually did a PhD in semiconductor physics and analog circuit design and stuff.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it was a cool program because, you know, you got to take all kinds of... You get to pick your own classes. So I did a lot of clean room fabrication. Mm-hmm. And so I learned how to make transistors.
Right.
And then at the same time, I like doing like all the quantum transport type classes. So did some stuff in that. And then, you know, would mix that up with some of the circuit design. And so, you know, on the side was always the guitar. And I, you know, still play, you know, most days play several hours a day kind of thing.
Right.
And yeah, it just kind of went from there. So, you know, it started out with that, and then I started putting it together to make these pedals. And, you know, first reading on the internet and trying different things out. I don't know, you're familiar with the breadboard?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, you know, you take the breadboard, and that's what I'd start with. And
right.
Just kind of like...
Stuff it with circuits.
Yeah, stuff it with circuits and try this out, try that out.
Right.
And so I made up this one pedal, which is kind of like where it really started. It was it's like a clean boost, but mm-hmm. it doesn't overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to see if you could do is if you could make it kind of like resemble a pickup. So I wanted to make it, you know, between a single coil and a humbucker. And so I put this high gain circuit and then something that looks like a pickup together. And it actually sounded pretty cool. So, you know, that was...
So let me get this straight. There were magnets involved?
Yeah, like, you know, you used a real big inductor. So it looks like you've got... a pickup in there,
and you're running and you're coiling it and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you using copper wire?
No, so I don't do any of the turning myself. I thought about it, but I found some parts that, you know, do a really good job of that. And so it's interesting too, because, you know, there's like a turns ratio, right?
Right.
How many turns?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, it takes months. You're going through all these different circuits, like what's the right ratio? You know, like, well, how's this gonna work? Because then at the same time, you've got a lot of parasitics, right? You know,
right.
You've got the resistance and
sure.
the capacitance. So you got to fool around with all these things. So it was a lot of like changing little parts and,
uh-huh.
you know, put all that together.
Uh-huh.
So that was actually kind of like the birth of this Banshee Boost pedal, which is
okay.
what I call it. So that's like this black pedal. And I started there and I was like, wow, this thing sounds really cool. And I was like kind of thinking about selling it, you know, or what do I want to do? And then in there, I started... trying to make fuzz pedals.
Uh-huh.
And so a fuzz pedal is an interesting pedal, right? I don't have you ever tried to make one of those? Or...
No, I've never tried to make one, no, but I've owned hundreds.
Okay, all right. So they're it's a really interesting pedal because there's very few circuits in it, right? So you've only, you know, an original Fuzz Face, it's two transistors.
Right.
And so you read about how difficult these things are to make. So, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm an electrical engineer and all this stuff. Let me just throw a fuzz pedal together.
Right.
So I throw the circuit together and it was just, didn't sound so great at first. You know, it was just a lot of learning and fooling around to really try to get a good sound out of it. Because what happens is with so few transistors, if you could keep it that way, you can make it very transparent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really the goal there. So I spent a lot of time kind of like fooling around with these different fuzz pedals. And so I started with the germanium ones,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, everybody's like these old transistors,
the germanium. Old Roger Mayer stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about the transistors, you know, and what goes into them and how they're made. And so, you know, I took that and I thought, well, why don't I try to make a silicon fuzz, which usually people think are really high gain and kind of over the top, and copy in some of that stuff that a germanium transistor would have and see if I could make silicon sound like germanium.
Interesting,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so I had done some similar things with work because I do different kinds of, I build a lot of amplifiers, but they're more for RF, so, you know, kind of like 900 megahertz, 1 gigahertz, 2 gigahertz cell phone kind of range.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at some of the things that happen in those, and I put that into the pedal too. And so what I finally came up with was a germanium pedal that I make, and then that's this 1948 fuzz, and then also a silicon fuzz that sounds very, very similar to the germanium one. But because you don't have to handpick transistors, because I designed a special circuit around it,
right,
you could actually sell it for a lot less. And so I made the 1954 fuzz.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's two pedals. They sound, you know, they're each their own fuzz. The, you know, a lot of people say the 54's got a little more treble, has just a little more gain, whereas the 48, it's a little softer, maybe a little different harmonic distortion. But they're actually, they come out pretty similar.
That's so really amazing. I love this. You know, I grew up with my dad who worked for Grumman Corporation. He did a lot of NASA contracts and stuff like that. He did a lot, you know, so he, saw him building Heath kits, you know, stereos as a kid and watching him do that. He built me my first pedal board, which was essentially bastardizing a lot of electroharmonics pedals and chaining them together and putting them in a case.
Yep.
So I would be able to and run a power source to them and everything else. Of course, you know, they were never really roadworthy, and you take them out and you do a few gigs and things start to fall apart. But to see this is, I mean, you know, for you folks listening at home, you'll get to hear this stuff as we go through. You'll be able to go to the YouTube channel and check out some of the video that we're doing for you as well. And I'll be taking some photos, so you'll be able to see those on the website. But it's great that there's somebody like you pushing the envelope this way, no pun intended, and, you know, to take it to a whole nother place, and rethink what was sort of the industry standard.
Yeah,
you know,
that's kind of interesting because that, you know, brings up a couple other points. So one of the things that, you know, probably like a lot of people that listen to your show, I'm is always a big Hendrix fan, right?
Yeah.
One of the first things that you learn are all the different Hendrix riffs and, you know, that kind of thing. And I really like playing with a wah-wah pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that if you have like an old fuzz face, right, and you put a wah-wah pedal in front of it, the way the impedances mismatch, basically,
yeah,
you get oscillations.
Yeah.
And it sounds really bad. And so with my original fuzz pedals, when I was starting, I could get similar problems.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I designed this special buffer that goes in the front of these pedals. And it's not like a regular buffer. Like a regular buffer you just throw in there. But if you do that, you actually ruin the way the fuzz sounds.
Okay.
And so you have to make a really careful buffer for this. And so I ended up designing in a buffer into all these pedals. But one of the things that I also like, so I wanted to play with a wah, but I actually also like to be able to use your volume knob to change the fuzz, right? Sure. Because they're real expressive.
Sure.
And so you'll see that all these pedals, I usually have a true bypass switch. So you can always turn that on or off. And so you could turn the buffer off when you're not using your wah, or you could turn it on for when you're using it.
Right.
So that was always kind of a neat thing that's designed into these that I don't really think anybody else has put in a fuzz like that.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So now, when do you prefer to hear your effects, particularly your fuzz, through an amp that's mostly clean or something that's already kind of overdriven and taking it to another place?
Yeah, I really like both.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I'll run things a lot is I have kind of like my booster overdrive,
mm-hmm.
and that will hit the tubes a little bit and it'll start to break the amp up.
Right.
And then I'll run the fuzz into that. And so it's already kind of a little dirty amp, but mm-hmm. the neat thing is that rolling back, you could really clean it up too.
Right.
But, you know, at the other end, sometimes I'll turn all my fuzz pedals on, you know, and you'll just run like two, three fuzz pedals, right, all at one time. And right. it's just like, it's great because you could just move your guitar in different spots and you can get all these different notes right. to just ring out.
Right.
You know, so I really like both.
Yeah, and it changes the harmonics too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, so the guitar that you, well, like the guitar you're going to be using today, we're using a Fender Strat.
Yeah, this I was just going to use this. It's a basic guitar that I usually demo at the shows.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing you at Guitarlington with that guitar, actually.
Yeah.
Now, is that stock pickups in there?
Yeah, it's a straight stock guitar. I just wanted... So I do everything, you know, when I demo for people, this is how it comes from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have too much anything crazy in there. So, yeah, it's a stock Mexican Strat. I think it's from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I just went into the guitar store, and they had about 10 used ones. And I tried them all out, and that was the best one. So mm-hmm. I got it for a couple $100. And
right. That's Isn't that funny about Strats, too? I mean, American ones are like that, too. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so weird. Les Pauls can be like that, but more than not, I find that the Fenders, especially Strats, you sit down with one, you go, this is a dog. And then you pick up another one, you go, oh.
Yeah, and you know what I think the key is? I think it's the action. Yeah. And so if you find a Strat that's set up properly, you can have a really low action
mm-hmm.
and not have fret buzz,
right.
and it's, you know, you could play.
Right.
Whereas some of the ones, if you know, if the action's too high, mm-hmm. or I don't like it when your bridge is not up against the body.
Right.
Because if it's floating, then I always rest my hand on the bridge and it just messes it out.
Yeah. Yeah, micro tunes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think a big key to it though is that it's set up.
Yeah. You know? Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. So growing up as a guitar player, who would you say is your earliest influence as far as guitar?
Probably Hendrix, I was saying, well, you know, also Nirvana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the first things you learn when, you know, I don't know, I graduated high school in the 90s. So that was, you know, they were pretty big then.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was the Nirvana riffs. And then my guitar teacher showed me some Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Actually showed me Purple Haze, but I didn't have a copy of the song. And I didn't know how it really went. So I would just go home and I'd play it in all the wrong order. And so I was playing like the middle parts before the dissident intro.
Right.
And then I was using that dissident intro as the chorus and stuff. And so I spent, you know, like a couple of weeks doing that before I finally got a copy of the album. And you listen to the album and you're like, whoa, this guy is really good. So that's pretty much where it all started. You know?
Yeah. And then down the road, anybody that really.
Yeah. Tons and tons of influences. I always like Stevie Ray Vaughan, you mm-hmm. know. Some kind of more obscure ones is that I was in a metal band,
mm-hmm.
and so we listened to a lot of different, the heavier things. Right. So, you know, Deftones, the early Deftones was a big influence.
Yeah, really good.
The early Korn,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting band because, you know, now they're way different than they were.
They sure are.
But, you know, in their early years, they were really pushing some of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, their early albums, that was a big influence, and things like Vision of Disorder.
That's a band I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, it's I don't even know where they're out of, but I think it's in the New York kind mm-hmm. of area. But yeah, it's a great heavy band. So I was doing that, But then at the same time, you know, I was studying classical guitar.
Right.
And so it was people like John Williams, mm-hmm. you know, just amazing guitar players.
Yeah.
So that kind of influenced too.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. So nowadays, I mean, I don't know if you saw the cover of the last, by the time this comes out, this will be an old issue of Guitar Player magazine. But the latest issue of Guitar Player is like 300 stomp boxes. They review like 300 stomp boxes of every kind, not just fuzzes, not just distortion, but everything. There has been a huge surge of boutique, and you'd have to consider yourself boutique, right?
Yeah, definitely.
A boutique pedal makers. And one of the things that I've noticed is that everybody's trying to outdo everybody else's boost, whether it be a clean boost, you know, a mid-range boost, a dirty boost, you know, something like a tube screamer,
mm-hmm.
or a full-on fuzz. And I noticed that the big companies like Dunlop and people like that are like kind of scrambling now, like, okay, we got to come up with something boutique-esque or boutique-ish, you know, so to kind of compete with everything. One of the things that I've noticed is a lot of those pedals that I've tried myself and that I've heard and seen demoed, their saturation level isn't always, it's not that clean. It's dirty, but it's dirty over into a whole nother place, you know, and there's not that where you can't hear the wood on the guitar anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you find, how do you battle that when you're making a pedal?
I like, my goal is something that I would use.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts off like, I need it to be like really sturdy. Because, you know, back in the metal band days that we would smash our equipment, right? So
right.
A, it's got to last that. But B, I like it so that you can see the, you know, feel the nuances of the person playing.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody has their own kind of like little nuances. And in that, I try to make it so that you can hear the notes. You know, so it's like, say if you have a fuzz pedal, you know, sometimes if you strum a chord, it's just kind of like fuzz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then what I was trying to go for is you can hear the chord, but there is fuzz.
Right.
And, you know, it's actually something that like I was recording, we're recording an album once, right? And the sound engineer was like, hey, turn down your distortion a little bit and it will come through and you'll sound cleaner and you'll sound better. So it's I guess it's kind of along those lines of things.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one of the things that, I mean, as I get older, because when I started, I'm much older than you. I mean, I started and it was all about how dirty can I get this?
Yeah.
You know, because I was usually playing through a clean amp,
mm-hmm.
like crystal clean, and I had through a fuzz. I mean, there was a company that used to make it was a Japanese company that used to make guitars called Sokova, and they also made pedals.
Sokova or Sigova? Sokova?
Maybe Sokova.
So I have an old Sokova.
Do you
guitar.
Really?
Yeah,
it's an old Sokova guitar. Really?
Yeah. That was actually the first guitar I ever had. It was my dad's.
Really?
And it was sitting around, and the action was so bad it would make your fingers bleed. But yeah, that's what I have. That
I had a Sokova fuzz.
Okay, cool.
And it was just a chrome pedal, with the foot switch and one knob.
Yep.
And it was, you know, full on just dirt. Mm-hmm. It was really, in a lot of ways, it was almost like white noise.
Yeah.
It got to that point, you know. But it was, you know, we were dirtying up the sound and that's what we were looking for. But as I got older, I realized, well, if I just dial back on that volume knob.
Exactly. Yeah,
I get these really great bell-like tones, you know. Almost sort of like, you know, I love the rhythm sound of Malcolm Young.
Okay.
From AC/DC.
Yeah.
That fat, full, you know, I mean, he's playing cowboy chords, you know. He's mm-hmm. playing open chords through a Marshall.
And it's heavy.
Yeah, and it's heavy.
But
and,
it's not. But it
yeah,
is, right?
Not a lot of folks have balls to play open chords through a Marshall.
Yeah.
You know. So that's something that I always really dug about about that. Well, let's hear some stuff. What do you say?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's demo some of it.
Cool. All right. Okay, so we're gonna hear a little bit more about what he's got going on here. What are you gonna show us first, there, Seth?
Yeah, sure. First is this Banshee Boost pedal.
Oh, hang on. Let me turn this one on. There we go. Okay. Okay, you want to see the Banshee Boost first?
Yeah, so this is the Banshee Boost pedal, and it's basically going through a Mexican Strat into a Marshall JCM 900. It's the clean channel. Everything's set to about middle.
Okay.
So this is the clean sound. Whereas then if this is the Banshee Boost, and what you can do is you can start it out clean.
And already you've got a more pronounced.
Yeah, it pronounced, but not so much distortion. Right. The key.
But it made the guitar a lot more expressive.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, now shut the pedal off and do that again. Wow.
It makes the sound a little bigger. And what I think it's that, you know what I was talking about, where it emulates a pickup in a way?
Right, right.
It kind of adds a little bit of subtle harmonic distortion it's not over the top where it's like, you know, like an actual distortion, but it just kind of fattens up the sound. It's like, I think it's a second order kind of harmonic, okay. So.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's a got this scream knob, and you can slowly turn it up. And you can even get a little more.
So now the amp is just starting to break up on its own.
Yeah.
Because you're pushing the tube.
Exactly. So you're hitting the front tubes right there, right. And that's kind of getting those to break up.
Right. And now, mind you, he's playing through a Strat with single coils, stock. This is completely stock. So.
Okay. And so then you can kind of crank it up all the way, where now you're really overdriving your amp, and you're just... So one thing that you do is if you turn your volume knob down a little bit, you can hear there's not much distortion at all. And so it's a lot with your pick attack.
Right, so now it's about, yeah, I was just yeah, going to so say, now could, it's about attack.
Yeah, you could do where it's clean. That's the Banshee Boost, and you know, I could do all kinds of different in between right. tones and stuff. So.
Right.
And then cool. I thought, yeah, I'll do one of the fuzz pedals.
Yeah, wanna start with the 48?
Yeah, let's start with the 48 fuzz, and then the 48 fuzz is the one, the germanium one. So right. This is kind of like the old school germanium transistors.
Right.
And I'll just start out, so I have a basic circuit, so it's essentially a fuzz face type circuit.
Right.
And these are the ones where I hand match them, so I measure each transistor one at a time to get a decent sound, so.
That's cool, and that's on the front pickup.
Yeah, top pickup, and you can just turn the volume knob down a little bit.
Cool, I love that fluty sound, you know.
And that's with the buffer off. So right. What you hear is that if you turn the buffer on, you get just a little bit more treble.
Nice.
And the thing I don't like about fuzz is that a lot of times they're not loud enough. And so I put a clean boost on the back end of these.
Ah, okay.
And so it's a clean boost, and right at the end, it will actually break up a little bit and give you kind of like a bassier like kick to everything.
Okay.
So that's, if you fire that up, you know, it's about here. And what I really designed it for was to use it with a wah, right?
Right.
Or one of the things, so you know, you can and then you want to try to get good wah sweep with it, you know?
Right. So the wah is sitting where in the chain? It's the first thing in the chain?
Yeah, exactly. Because I want to wah my clean signal.
Right.
And then, you know, that will do your wahing, and then put that through and do distortion after that.
Okay.
So at least that's how I like it.
Yeah.
If you put it afterwards, you're basically wahing all of your distortion. It's like...
Right.
It's not quite right.
Right, so it oscillates.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Actually, it won't. I don't know if it oscillates as much with the wah after.
Right.
But like, if you have it before without a buffer, that is usually a pretty good problem.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the germanium fuzz.
Right. That's the 48.
Yeah, and then this is a silicon fuzz on a pretty similar setting.
Let's hear that with the wah.
Yeah, okay, so it's
I like what it does to the wah, or should the wah does to that,
yeah.
Whichever it is. It gives you such a razor sharp sound. I like that a lot. That's really cool.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
And that was a fifth.
That's a 54. So that's a silicon fuzz.
Wow.
So those are known for being like way over the top and very
right.
mushy, or however you want right. to put it. But
it's got a real vintage sound.
Yeah, exactly. So you know you can hear the chords.
Would you say you're backing the volume up when you're just picking out notes out of a chord?
And it depends with the volume knob. If I have the buffer on, you've mm-hmm. got to turn it a little more because the
right.
buffer will put a little juice in. But say if you have the buffer off, you could do it between 10 and 9 and get
right.
a really big difference.
Right.
Maybe 10 and 8. So you know you could do all kinds of, you know, like things.
Yeah. Right.
And that's basically just rolling the volume knob. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool.
I'm not sure what else. I guess what I was telling you, like, what I'll normally do is I run the boost first.
Right. Now, that just takes it way over the top.
Yeah, you get, well, if you want to go way over the top, turn all the fuzz pedals on.
That's great.
Yeah, just
that's excellent.
Basically, sounds like it's exploding, you know.
Right.
It sounds great with a hollow body and a humbucker, because I'll do that too. I've got an old Hagstrom, right?
Right.
And so I'll just crank everything up to 10 and just get like this feedback explosion sometimes.
That's very cool.
So.
All right, cool. Come on back and let's sit down. Let's talk. So, obviously, I know you've got the. You've got Dallas International Guitar and Amp Show coming up in April.
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about today, and that's what this episode's going to be. It's going to be that month. What's ahead for you?
Yeah, I got a bunch of things. Well, like you're saying, the Dallas Guitar Show. I'm really looking forward to doing that, and that'll be our second year there because it's still pretty new.
Right.
But I've got some new pedals coming up, and I'm going to change kind of some of the things that I've been doing. And so I've got this really crazy new fuzz that should be completely different. And, you know, someone at a show, this guy John that does fret jobs, and I were talking about this. And what ended up happening is that I put an effects loop directly in a fuzz pedal, which is completely different, right?
Yeah.
And so it should be, it's this crazy new pedal. I'll show you one. I've got it built. And so the goal is that for Dallas, I'm gonna have this thing, but it's neat because it puts the effect in a loop with the fuzz. It's got its own controller, so you could turn the effect off,
right?
Or you could turn the fuzz and the effect off. And basically it will open a whole new world to guitar players, because you know, you can have your fuzz, which is then going into, you know, you could have a time effect, right? So
right.
Some time effect, and you could turn the whole thing off with one step, or turn everything on, or control combinations in between.
Wow.
So yeah, so that's this one pedal that I've got coming out.
Wow, that's crazy. So that's like a fuzz slash ABY slash.
Yeah, it's like a fuzz slash effects loop all put together into one box.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's the one that's coming out next. And then the other thing that I've been messing with is a reverb pedal.
Right.
And so it's a solid state reverb, uh-huh. But instead of using a digital chip, I'm just going to use a real spring reverb. And so, wow. Yeah, I don't know of many of those out there, and it sounds ridiculous. It's really great. Like, you know, so I'm not quite done with it. I'm still messing with the exact values, but I know for sure it sounds way better than what's in my Marshall. And so, yeah, it's this cool new pedal. You know, someone asked me to build it, and so I've just been messing with it since then. But it's an interesting to build, too, because, you know, it's hard to drive the reverb.
Right.
So there's some interesting circuits that had to go in there.
Right.
Actually, a lot of fiddling that went on there.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been seeing a lot of folks coming out with reverb pedals. More than the last, in the last 2 years than I have in the last 10.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And do you think that's just like a testament to the fact that a lot of amp builders don't build good reverbs in their amps?
I don't know. I'm not going to say anything, you know, bad about amp builders. But yeah, I don't know. A lot of them are coming out. And, you know, what I want to do to be different is that an actual spring reverb.
Yeah.
Like you'd find in your amp.
Right.
So.
I mean, it's funny because out of all my amps, I have to say probably my reverb amp, my Fender reverb amp has got the best reverb in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most natural sounding. It's the cleanest sounding. It's got the best decay. But, you know, and I'll say it, my Boogie doesn't have a great reverb in it. And I end up having to use a reverb pedal.
Yeah, interesting.
For it. When I'm using that particular amp. But when I'm using my Fender.
Yeah, well, Fender is known for their reverbs too, yeah. Right? So
it's funny, though, how that's become that's become such a thing now. I don't know if you're familiar with a company called Moore.
Moore? I'm not sure. Maybe. Moore.
M-O-O-R-E.
I know. I've seen it.
They make these tiny little things, and you know they're inexpensive. I've never seen one up close. I've only seen video, and heard them. They sound good, but it's funny how everybody's. I don't know. It's really incredible, this surge of pedal makers now.
Yeah.
It's really, really, it's impressive. And I've always been a pedal geek, you know, for years and years. I was away from it for a long time during the 80s.
Yeah, but yeah, you still have that big collection in there.
But I still got a collection, exactly. In the closet. Yeah, absolutely. And they're all out now. And I just finished a new pedal board, actually, and with a whole bunch of vintage stuff.
Oh, cool.
You know, and, but yeah, so now you got me thinking about one of these.
Yeah, that's the thing. So yeah, that's what's really coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you're going to do Guitarlington again next year.
I'm not sure if we're doing that one. I should say. Most likely I will. Yeah. You know, because I'm local to Austin.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to keep everything in Texas.
Yeah.
Just doing what I can because it's, you know, mm-hmm. just me. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, I see you at NAMM soon.
Yeah, definitely. We've been talking about it. So. Yeah. Maybe if not this year, then the year after.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Absolutely. Very good. Well, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And like I said, folks, check them out. You're at ScreamingFX.com.
Yeah, ScreamingFX.com. You could actually, I own a couple domains similar, so if you mess it up, you'll probably still get
okay.
it.
Okay. Everything's cool. Routed that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, excellent. And come out to the Dallas Guitar and Amp Show and check them out. You don't know your booth number yet, do you?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, when you find out, you let me know.
Okay.
And I'll post that on the website and people can find out where you are from there. But check it out, ScreamingFX.com, obviously on Facebook as well.
Yep.
And I've already been to that page. I like that page. And check them out, folks. It's really good. Really, really good. I want to try my paw through this stuff now. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And thanks for having me in your home and showing me everything. And go to the YouTube channel, folks. Check out some of the video that we're going to shoot right now. We'll see you.